The following is part one of a special eTown program we recorded in the spring of 2017 as part of our eTown on the Road series, celebrating the first 25 years of eTown. So join us now in Denver, Colorado, at the beautiful historic Paramount Theater as Mayor Michael Hancock steps up to the stage.
Thank you all so very much. We are so glad you're here. And how about eTown, this great Colorado organization, celebrating 25 years. 25 years. We are so honored they've chosen to do it here in Denver to commemorate their 25th anniversary. The celebration here at the Paramount, our historic theater, right in the heart of our great downtown Denver, where we have an abundance of great music. This 25-year mark is a tremendous achievement. This program has explored so much over the years through every broadcast. They've had great musicians, great discussion about all that's going on in our lives throughout society, whether you were in England, New York, or Colorado. And we're just pleased that they will continue from this point forward to not only entertain us, but continue to talk about our society, especially in divisive and turbulent times. And guess what? We need them right now. Would you not agree? We need this forum. We need the discussions, and we need the celebration of ideas. And so as I leave this stage, once again to Nick and Helen, every once in a while, a couple comes along that demonstrates to us that we can reach beyond our own walls to make a difference in society. They've used eTown as a great institution and a great vehicle to bring to all of us, not only good music, but again, the ability to think and to challenge and to survey and explore great ideas and challenges that we all face. There aren't many people who do that for us. So we owe them a tremendous debt of gratitude, and that's why I came by, to look them in the eye as I did backstage and say, thank you. America's great because of venues and vehicles like eTown.
Thanks so much, Mayor Hancock, for that amazing and generous introduction. This is Helen. I'm Nick. We're so happy to be back here at the Paramount in Denver, and we're going to get things going.
Live from the Paramount Theater in Denver, Colorado, it's eTown on the Road with this week's musical guests from New Orleans, Louisiana, and Buffalo, New York, Righteous Babe recording artist Ani DeFranco, and from Chicago, Illinois, the legendary Mavis Staples. I'm Helen Forster. Join me now in welcoming our host, Nick Forster.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks, everybody. Welcome to eTown. It's really good to be back in Denver, my former hometown. I moved here in 1975 to work at the Denver Folklore Center back when Mavis was in her mid-30s and Ani was five. It was fun then, and it's good to be back. It's always good to get together. We get to do this often, convene a crowd, hang out, play some music. But this time feels just a little bit more special than some, just a little bit. And one of the reasons is that we have not one, but two guests this week who are remarkable women. In many ways, they're both pioneers, women who started young, who broke new ground, women who made sure that their music had meaning. And of course, they've been witness to and participants in some pretty important moments in American history. So Mavis, as we all know, did this with her family, the Staples Singers, amazing legacy, and did that for decades. But our first guest did it by herself. She did it alone. She left home as a teenager. She had her own record company by the time she was 18 years old. She started selling cassettes out of the back of her car. She built a business, a community, a legacy. She published books of poetry. Just released, I think it's her 20th solo record, one of her very first trips to Colorado was to join us for an eTown show way back in the early 90s. We're thrilled that she's here with us this week. Please help me welcome back to eTown and to the stage here at the Paramount, along with her band, Ani DeFranco.
first of all, I've just been compared to Mavis Staples, so I'm just gonna die happy. And that'll be that. What a pleasure to be here. Thanks, E-Town, for inviting me back. State I've been existing in. I am allergic to water. It itches my throat and it blisters my skin. Still, I drink 'cause I have to. I bathe 'cause I have to, but boy, it's a pain. But I don't cry 'cause I hurts to cry, and I don't go outside in the rain. And you may wonder what would possess someone like me to go on. Yeah, you may wonder how it's possible something so basic could go wrong. And all I can say is if you stretch your mind all the way as far as it goes, there's someone out there lives further than that in a place you can never know. Can't assume that I am thirsty. And a good day is one when that ache in my brain can remain at a doable three. But I don't really want your sympathy. I'm just telling you so you'll understand. This is me sincerely doing the best that I can. I'm wondering if I can say something about this next song I want to play for you. And I don't exactly know what, but here we are. Here I am, naked on stage again. We are in some challenging political times. Newsflash. But we are also in some very inspiring, hopeful times, are we not? There are so many people, I think some of us in this room, who are activating, who are participating in the resistance to craziness and regression. And that's some incredible stuff. There's some incredible stuff. And we can all observe the vanguard of the resistance is feminine, you know? And I think, you know, not women necessarily, but feminine, right? And And I think from the nature of the resistance, we can infer something about the force we are resisting. And I just hope that maybe this is a time when we can all start talking about a little thing called patriarchy. It's been on my mind personally for some time. And I think it's like that left turn that we took, you know, like eons ago. And we keep, you know, we're like turning left and right, and we keep getting these blind alleys, and the promised land is way over there somewhere. It's like, we gotta go back. We gotta go back. And I think the only thing I wanted to tell you maybe about this song, when I talk about like the unexplored hemisphere in this song, this is the cliff notes now. What I'm talking about is the right hemisphere of our brain, our feminine side. The left hemisphere has been kind of in charge, you know, because that's our language, that's our linear, that's our logic, that's the designer of like the world up till now. And it also happens to be the masculine side of our nature, I believe. Okay, I'm spouting now. Where's my soapbox? Meanwhile, the intuitive, the emotional, the image-based side of our brain is very much awakening in this age of images. And this bodes really well for us. You can feel it, right? You can feel it, our feminine side awakening. So anyway, this is a hopeful song. I want to invite my friend Chastity Brown out here to help me sing it to you. That's Todd Sigafoos on the bass right there, by the way. And that's Terrence Higgins on the drums. All right, let's play a little song about hope, possibility. Human race, the history of the world is such a losing place. The alphabet took us on a wild goose chase, and still is swiftly sifted sands beneath our feet. And an unexplored hemisphere lying underneath. The goddesses, fresh from their long sleep. We get so off track sometimes. We get so off track sometimes. Yeah, what the hell? Raise your hand if you're at peace right now. In fact, just stand up and take a bow. Everywhere you look, you just see damaged goods, and still there, swiftly sifted sand beneath our feet, and an unexplored hemisphere lying underneath. Enter the goddesses, fresh from their long sleep. Get so off track sometimes. We get so off track sometimes. We get so off track sometimes. We get so off track. Yeah. Woe begone, madness and suffering. I am just like you. Bottoms of my crutches look like old worn shoes. Beneath our feet, and an sometimes. We get so off track sometimes. We get so off track sometimes. We get so off track. Well, we're gone. The madness and the suffering of the human race. The history of the world is such a losing place. The alphabet took us on a wild goose chase. Thank you.
Your visit to E-Town is made possible in part by Silk, the charter sponsor of Change the Course. The program was co-created with National Geographic to restore water in critically water-stressed ecosystems. You can learn more about Silk's commitment to the environment and to plant-based nutrition at silk.com. And by Zayo Group, providing communication infrastructure services to the world's leading businesses with its fiber network that powers the voice, data, and video traffic we depend on every day. You can learn more at zayo.com. That's Zayo.com. And by the way, if you're curious about E-Town's home base, E-Town Hall, our beautiful solar-powered music community center located in downtown Boulder, Colorado, you can learn more about it on our website, etown.org. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. You are listening to E-Town. Anita DeFranco, welcome back. So good to have you.
Oh,
you sound great.
Thank you.
We've been doing this for a little while, you and me.
Yeah, we have, Nick. Yeah. It's good to be back amongst friends.
I feel lucky about that. I was thinking about family. You know, Mavis singing with her family, and you becoming an emancipated adult at 15 years old, and somehow you were ready to move on. I suspect your parents could see what you were up to and were probably okay with it.
Yeah, they were. I mean, I didn't have much of a family growing up. Funny that should be our topic. what's that? No, but, and I think with all the chaos that was in my household, they were just happy that I was happy and I had something I wanted to do, and I was kind of okay, so they let me go.
That's good.
Yeah, it was good. I had a really independent childhood, and I think it set me up nice for an independent life.
I was a feral teenager as well.
Yeah, and, I knew we had
it
something.
It was just thing, yeah. And now, what makes me sort of think about this family and coming full circle is that now you're a mother. You got two kids. So you're thinking about all the things that you did when you were young, and now you're watching your kids giving it back to you.
Yeah, that's right. Amen, right? Now yeah, it's really, I mean, I'm new to the family thing, and it's really, I understand now what it means. I actually married into an incredible family, and what a feeling that gives you in this world.
Now, raising kids in New Orleans, your new hometown, must be an amazing experience and probably somewhat different from what you remember as a kid. What do you think your kids get from being in New Orleans? What do they get exposed to? And what do you share with them that you think is helping to sort of make
man.
Them who they are?
Those kids are so lucky. New Orleans, what don't they get? They get music, they get food, they get beautiful architecture, they get people who are open and warm and real. And my daughter was just saying to me the other day, because we live right by the river, you know, we're about three blocks from the Mississippi, and the train tracks are about three blocks away, and it's just a din of boat, you know, all night long, and the train horns, and we got home the other day from a trip, my daughter and I, and she was like, I love hearing the trains and the boats, Mommy. It makes me feel like I'm home. I was like, oh,
that's pretty cool.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me also ask you about your, you know, you've always been an issues-oriented writer and person and public person. And now those issues probably are, you're seeing them through the lens of parenthood. So when you think about an issue like, you know, climate change or the environment, I think suddenly it's, oh, wow, it's not just me. It's 80 years from now that I'm thinking about because I have little tiny kids, you know. So
yeah.
Is that what your experience is like?
I mean, yeah, a lot of people ask you, you know, when you're a songwriter, an activist, or whatever it is I am, does having kids make you more something or other? Well, no, you know, if I was more something or other, I'd just explode, I think. It gives me a nice balancing effect, you know. It's like, oh, geez, phew, let's put that down and watch the grass grow for a minute, you know. And that helps. But I'm now having this repeated. I have a 10-year-old and I have a 4-year-old. And I imagine this cycle is going to begin again of explaining the insanity of it all to the uninitiated. And it just, I mean, you know, a few years back, I was in a park near our house at a demo with my daughter. You know, I bring the kids to vote. I bring the kids to demonstrations. I try to show them what citizenship looks like, you know.
Your daughter's birthday is Inauguration Day, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, she was very sad about yeah. that. But she came to the Women's March in D.C. with me, and we both got really happy. Really happy that day. I was just, you know, we were in this park near our house, and we're making noise, and then she turns to me and she says, Mommy, why are they saying hands up, don't shoot? And I was like, okay. Well, sweetie, there's this thing called racism. It's like the stupidest thing ever. And then you have to walk them through these things, mm-hmm. like we are polluting the earth and we may kill our whole species and many others with it. Ah, yes. And you know, and the amazing thing too about having kids, having family, is now I tell her things like, yeah, when we throw this stuff in, there is no away. There's no away. The garbage, you can't throw something away. Where does it go? You know, maybe the ocean. And now every time I'm throwing something out, she's talking right. to me about it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mom.
And it's like, right, yeah. right. You're going to use that information yeah. as opposed to my crusty brain.
Your crusty brain. I like there's a line in one of your songs on your new record that says, neither young nor dumb am I. So I think we can assume.
Shakespearean.
Yeah, it is Shakespearean.
Not?
Speaking of which, your new record is really good. Really like
oh,
it. And
geez,
I love
thanks.
The fact that it sounds like your hometown, but it also sounds like a unique perspective of New Orleans. It has
yeah,
those
right.
flavors, that culture, that richness.
Right. right, like a Buffalo girl stumbled in and got lost. Couldn't find her way home.
Well,
yeah.
she didn't get completely lost because she made some friends.
Yeah, yeah, amen. Yeah, I mean, living in New Orleans and having brilliant friends that I can call with a local, you know, number is makes making records really fun.
Yeah, and there's Jenny Scheinman's playing fiddle on there.
Yes,
you get some special
indeed.
Guests.
Yeah.
It's nice to have the horns and the fiddle as a sort of juxtaposition that you don't hear often.
Mm.
And lovely songs. And some of the songs are, I guess I can say this because neither young nor dumb are you. or maybe me, but I'm not sure that about that. But I was going to say that there are some songs about being a little more mature, I think. About there's one song about stopping mid-battle and apologizing and the strength that it takes to, in the midst of the fight, in the midst of being fierce, in the midst of being passionate, stepping back and saying, oh, wait a minute, maybe I have a role in this too. That's a pretty cool message.
Yeah, thanks. If there's one thing I've learned of a few decades of songwriting, you can sort of write yourself into being. So if I start saying, singing about I'm mature and grown, and I know how to check myself when I'm wrong, maybe someday it'll
yeah.
actually happen.
Yeah. So fiction is alive and well.
Yeah.
In your songwriting. What about the one that's an homage to a delayed gratification?
Mm.
Where you talk about how
yeah.
you vote and then you wait.
Yeah. Deferred Gratification is a song that's kind of, homage to all those that spend their lives in service of others, you know, starting with the mother, you know, or the parent, and, you know, ending with the public servant or the activist or who, you know, and of, you know, all of the brilliant activists that I've known in my life, they have taught me that for sure. You don't fight to win, you fight because it makes you feel good. It connects you with others and with what's right. It's an end in itself.
Well, in your case, it's a joyous battle.
Yeah.
You do a great job of just bringing such joy and great music, and you've done it for a long time, and we're just thrilled that you're still doing it. Thanks, Ani. Let's get back to music. Welcome back, if you would, Ani DeFranco.
All right, yeah, well, super peace out to E-Town for providing a space for people to come and talk about stuff, think about stuff for reals. Providing a space where somebody like me can come and play a song like this. Showing up for players, I was out there in the rain, learning how to kick some ass. I was down at 16, using my mama's key. It was all on me, it was all on me. Were no free rides, were no IOUs. I pulled my way, yeah, I paid my dues.
This is the modern world, and that one thing is
Ani DeFranco, along with Todd Sikafoos on the bass, Terrence Higgins on the drums, Chastity Brown on the vocals. Her new CD is called Binary, out on Righteous Babe Records. Ani DeFranco will be back to play some more music later on in the show.
This portion of E-Town is made possible by the Bohemian Foundation, building stronger communities through the Bohemian qualities of creativity and imagination, on the web at bohemianfoundation.org. By the way, if you've just tuned in late and you've missed some of this week's show, or maybe you want to hear it again or share it with one of your friends, there is a podcast of this episode and other past E-Town shows as well. Those are available for free in Google Play, iTunes, and other podcast directories. If you are looking for a particular show, each show is listed under the names of our visiting artists. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. You are listening to E-Town. Ani DeFranco is going to be back and play some more music later on in the show. I do want to say hello to some of our listeners who are listening to E-Town on stations like WCNR in Charlottesville, Virginia, on KBCO right here in Denver, Colorado, and on WJFF Radio Catskill in Jeffersonville, New York. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you all for being with us. Mavis Staples is coming up in just a bit. Before she comes out, though, I want to mention that both Ani and Mavis have been inspired by their elders, as many of us have, lots of them in their case. One of the elders that was meaningful for them is Pete Seeger. Pete was a part of their lives. He was also a part of mine. He was the first guy I ever saw play live music. He played the banjo when I saw him when I was 5 or 6. And years later, I saw him try to use songs to try to raise awareness around cleaning up the Hudson River. Hudson River was had turned into kind of a free dump for all the towns for sewage and chemical waste and so on. Anyway, Pete organized this event, and it was a concert to try to raise awareness, and I was there with my family, and this group came down, and they had a banner that said, "Don't clean up the river, clean up this country, get rid of commies like Pete Seeger." So that was, and it was resolved. It worked out. My mom took action, and they played the Star Spangled Banner, and the whole thing turned into a sing-along. It was great. But it was the first time that I got to see conservation politicized. I was like, that's a political act instead of that's a community act. And we are now in another spot where that stuff is happening. We have people who think that conservation is somehow not patriotic, or I'm not sure. We have a march for science. That's the craziest thing I ever heard. You got a march for science? You're going to have a march for gravity? What's the deal? Gravity is going to be there, folks. It's not up for interpretation. Science is good. Science is good. We like science. But I also know that policymaking is tough and getting consensus is tough. And so here in Colorado, we've got all the issues that happen around the country, and we happen to have a former scientist who is currently the governor, former geologist. So welcome to the stage, if you would, former geologist, currently the governor, Governor John Hickenlooper. Welcome.
I am delighted. You know, the only problem is I still can't carry a tune, but it's just exciting to be with this audience that loves music so much.
Yeah, well, we know you love music too. I was just wondering about this sort of cognitive dissonance about about science and politics. And I wonder, in your role as governor, have you seen situations where the economy has suffered because of environmental regulations?
Well, let's put it this way. If you look at any time, very narrow slivers of time, where you can see often where there's an increased cost. There was an increased cost when we first started using seatbelts. Right, the increased cost when we started making sure that plants that generate energy, whether they burn coal or whether they burn, you know, natural gas or whether they run off of wind, all of them can be made cleaner, right? Wind can even be made cleaner, although it's pretty hard when you start with a pretty pure fuel like wind. Anyway, what you have to look at is a slightly longer period. And the problem is that most people in government have never been in science and don't trust science. I think one of our interns looked, I think I'm the only professional geologist in the history of the United States to ever be a governor. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it says something that we don't have enough. Again, science isn't always perfect. Science isn't always right. But it is, I think, without question, the best tool we have to try and predict the problems is there before they get here and then help us find solutions, right?
Yeah. And regarding your earlier comment, it's also possible that geologists don't have very interesting personalities.
Well, the one thing that
geologists
are known for three things. One is an extended sense of time.
Right.
Two is that they are generally maybe not as extroverted as other people.
Right.
Three, they have almost always an inclination to loving beer. So
okay.
I passed on two counts.
You fit on two of those anyway. Well, I appreciate that perspective about the fact that there's always an initial investment, there's always a cost, and people will be resistant to upfront costs, even though there is a perceived or at least understood benefit down the road. But that's sort of like what leadership is about, right?
That's our job. If we're in elected office, we need to go out and point out that longer view and make it compelling. And that's the trick. You know, when I got laid off as a geologist back in the 80s, and I had this idea to start a brew pub, right? A restaurant that brews its own beer. What a wacky concept it was back then. And it took me 2 years to raise the money. My own mother wouldn't invest because no one had ever seen it before.
Right.
And what happens when you tell people what climate change can do, what almost invariably is going to be coming down the pike, people haven't seen it, and they haven't smelled it, and they haven't tasted it. And it's hard to sell, and that's part of our job is to find the images and the words and the songs and the talent, whether it's musicians or writers, but to try and make those images vivid enough so people say, I get it, we better wake up.
Yeah. And as a governor and somebody who does get it and who is awake, how does it make you feel? I mean, just today there was an effort to sort of roll back any regulations having to do with offshore drilling. There was the walking back from the Clean Power Plan that the Obama administration put in place that was part of the Paris Accords. These sort of walking back from these agreements, as a governor, do you feel powerless to watch this coming from Washington, or do you feel like it's a longer game than that?
Well, there's always a pendulum, and you got to accept that, and it's what it is. But as governors, I mean, I have good relationships with a whole raft of Republican governors, and we disagree about some stuff, but we can discuss it, we can argue. We all have to make decisions. And I can tell you in Colorado, we have not slowed down. We don't need the EPA to tell us, well, we got to get to this level. We're going to go beyond that level on our own. And it's worth saying that we have crafted, I think we're working on some plans and we're not quite there yet, but we're very mindful of that cost, the short-term cost, because we know that a lot of people, you know, in their household budget, money is tight. So what we're trying to do, and here's the goal, we're going to try and go beyond what we were defined by the EPA to get to by 2030. We're going to try and get beyond there. without any increase in the cost to the ratepayers, the people who are paying for their electricity. So we'll have cleaner, equally reliable energy that will be at the same cost.
Yeah. And so so you've been very very pro fracking, which is a big contentious issue here in Colorado.
Here's my point with fracking, and I, you know, I look at it as an innovation, and the question then is, that I hear, in Colorado, people who own the mineral rights, right, the oil or the gas or the whatever's underground, it's their property and they own it, and in many cases it's retired couples, and I get all their letters, and our job is to say, all right, if you're gonna harvest that, the Constitution guarantees them the right to access those minerals, not at the risk of causing health consequences. And if we want to take that private property away from people without government giving them some compensation, then we might as well be Russia or China. And I think that there's a way to find a middle ground here where we say, all right, if we're going to try and eliminate that kind of activity in places where people are living, then we should figure out, all right, what's a fair way of evaluating what government's taking away and working with the community there and the state participating to say, all right, how do we make sure we're not taking people's private property without their consent?
You know, you're talking about an issue of private property, which is real, and it's the law, and you have to abide by the law. But the second piece, which I think is what most people here are at least are concerned about, is there a way to do this where you can, in fact, improve the technology to the point where things like leaking at the wellhead and real environmental damage to groundwater and to setbacks next to schools and housing. I mean, you can be a champion for a safer way to respect the private property of these other individuals.
Sure. And Colorado, 3.5 years ago, we sat down and we had the environmental community, the Environmental Defense Fund, the Colorado Environmental Coalition, and we had some of the more larger but more responsible oil and gas companies. And we got their experts both to sit in the same room and say, all right, we know we've got leaks coming out of these wells. We've got fugitive emissions. And we know that methane is a 4-time more destructive greenhouse gas than CO2. So what are you going to do about it? And so they sat down. And my commitment to them was we weren't going to make a lot of bureaucracy. We were going to make sure the dollars spent really cleaned the air and that everybody would share credit. And it took 11 months. But we were the first state, and so far still the only state, that had comprehensive regulations against fugitive emissions.
And they can and will do better and do more, I'm sure.
Absolutely. This is how regulations start.
Yeah. So, Governor Hickenlooper, I think this is a good discussion. We're having a party here tonight, and so we can dive into something maybe another time. But I do want to mention one other thing that is an initiative of yours that many people here may not know about, and that is that you're really interested in making sure that every kid in Colorado gets access to a musical instrument.
Yeah, we're...
Tell us about that.
So we just announced Take Note Colorado, and we have a whole bunch of musicians that are joining us on this, but our goal is to guarantee that every kid in the state of Colorado who wants to learn how to play music will have access not only to an instrument, but to lessons, right? So every kid has that chance.
Oh, cool. Wow. Listen, I just want to say something, which is I appreciate you coming out here. This is a great example of the dialogue, and dialogue is where we're going to figure things out. And so I appreciate you coming out and having dialogue. That's what E-Town has been about for 25 years. The conversation is where we're going to connect. Governor Hickenlooper, thank you for joining us.
Nick, always a pleasure.
All right. So, as I mentioned, we've got more music coming up from Ani DeFranco and her band in just a little while. Every now and then, I just want to tell you, there is an artist who kind of rises to the top. Their voice, their story, their legacy, their impact is such that they become more than famous. They become revered. They become loved. They become embraced. And that's the story of our next guest. Mavis Staples was born in Chicago in 1939. She grew up in a tight-knit family. And when she was still a little girl, her dad, who just was getting tired of his own little vocal group and the guys weren't showing up for rehearsal and stuff, he decided to teach his kids what singing in harmony was all about. He gave them each a part to sing, and he taught them songs in the style that he learned when he was growing up in the 20s in Mississippi. So they got together, they performed in a church, one thing led to another, and before long, they were the staple singers, and they were out there. They were off and running. They were the soundtrack, in many ways, to the civil rights movement. They sang songs about love and about peace, about God. They endured the terrors of racism, and they met them with those songs. They used music. They led the way. They and I have to say, not that Purvis or Cleotha or Yvonne were not critical, because they were, but the sort of in some ways most distinguishing characteristics of the Staple Singers were Pop Staples' haunting vocals on his guitar with the tremolo on, and then their young singer, Mavis Staples. It was just an amazing sound. Pops also had a great ear for a song, and he started letting Mavis take the lead when she was just 12 years old, and she was clearly an old soul. So this continued, and then more recently, she's been recognized in ways that are appropriate for a person who's had the impact she has. There was an HBO documentary made about her. There was a celebration at the Kennedy Center for her. There was, she's won just about every possible award. She's won a Grammy. She's a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And all of this stuff pales in comparison to one simple thing, which is Mavis Staples has, for more than 60 years, sung from her heart and connected with audiences with songs that have meaning. And that's a beautiful thing. And for that, many more reasons, I am just honored to welcome right now to the stage here at the Paramount Theater, along with her band, Mavis Staples.
Will they ever enter there? in a hurry, but I'm just gonna take it slow. That don't mean I ain't been a working. I'm working on me, baby. I'm working on me, darling. I'm taking the time to see the people who keep me going. Sometimes life can lead you down a bad path. Now I'm not saying that I'm not judging now. Just gonna tell you what I tell me now. I got friends that I got family, y'all. I got a help from all the people who love me. Take all they can from you. They don't call me Bubbles for nothing now. If people ask my pops, he'll tell them that. She gets it from me, baby. She gets it from me, darling. Chicago wasn't always easy. Love made the Windy City breathe. I got friends. I got family. I got a help from all the people who love me.
This is Helen Forster. Well, we're out of time for this hour, but we'll pick things up with this song next week. So join us for part two of this special 25th anniversary roadshow at the beautiful Paramount Theater in Denver, Colorado, celebrating the first 25 years of E-Town, with more from Mavis Staples and from Ani DeFranco, plus your host, Nick Forster, next week in E-Town.
What about the time you were rolling over, falling on your face? You must be having fun. Walk lightly, think of a time. You best believe this thing is real. Put away that gun. This part is simple. Try to recognize what is in your mind.
The national distribution of E-Town is made possible by the support of E-Town's family of sponsors, this station, and listeners like you.
He's all right.
How do you know?
The Lord won't mind.
Don't play no game.
He's all right. Love from the bottom to the top.
Turn like a wheel.
He's all right.
She know you say.
The Lord won't mind.
We're gonna move.
Right now, turn like a wheel inside the world. I remember when, sitting in the tub, pulled out the plug. The water was running out.
This is a production of the E-Town Radio Network.